Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. 45 years, 8 months, and one day. Just throwing that in. You know what that means? That means in less than 2 months, I'll celebrate the 31st anniversary of my 39th birthday.
Wow.
Okay. If you're drawing breath on planet Earth, there are going to be moments, times of adversity, when you wonder what to do next. In those moments, you will not find solace at the local watering hole, commiserating with somebody as lost as a goose in a blizzard. You will not. Your answer will not be found in extended conversations with friends about why it's unfair that you have to deal with situations like this. When trouble strikes, here are 7 things that you should do, or 7 things to do. Number one, when you're disappointed, now that's trouble, because disappointment can lead to depression, which can lead to other stuff.
Exactly.
When you're disappointed, here's the good news. Regardless of the intensity of the enemy's attack, you will never be put to shame or disappointed.
Amen.
Now, I realize that's a bold statement, but there are 8 verses in the classic Amplified edition of the Bible that say exactly that. You've got 3 of them on your outline tonight, we're going to talk about those 3.
Mm-mm. This is something you claim, you stand on, and it's straight out of the Word. Psalm 25, verse 3, I love this. In the classic Amplified Bible says, yes, let none who trust, I like that, none, let none who trust and wait hopefully and look for you be put to shame or be disappointed. Let them be ashamed who forsake the right and deal treacherously without cause. And also in Psalm 25, it goes on later, Psalm 25, verse 20, in the classic Amplified Bible says, oh, keep me, Lord, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed or disappointed, for my trust and my refuge are in you. And Romans 9, verse 33, again in the classic Amplified Bible, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall, but he who believes in him, who adheres to, trust, and relies on him, shall not be put to shame, nor be disappointed in his expectations.
The last part of that is powerful. Shall not be put to shame, nor disappointed in his expectations.
It's an expectation.
Hallelujah.
That God will come to
you. I like that part of the verse.
Amen.
I really do. Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company, said once, obstacles are those frightening things you see when you take your eyes off the goal.
There you go. And our goal is Jesus.
And that reminds me of what happened with Peter when he got out of the boat and started walking on the water.
That's right.
When he took his eyes off Jesus, when he broke his focus off the Word, that's when he started to sink. And truthfully, in times of adversity, if we take our focus off Him, we're going to start to sink. That's why we have to be laser focused.
That's right.
You know, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that every adversity we face is a test. Yes, a test to see if we'll throw up our hands and quit or do what God said and claim every promise that we've just read and that the Bible gives to us.
Mm-hmm.
To me, as Christians, we either believe God or we don't.
And that is the truth.
It's that simple. You either believe Him
or you don't.
There's no gray area, nothing in the middle. You believe God or you don't.
That's right. Sometimes, yes, it takes being going through the test sometimes to find out how strong you are. But the point of it is, go ahead.
I've always said the only way you have a testimony is to go through the tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't bring any more on than necessary.
That's plural, tests. But that's the only way you get to have a testimony, is going through the test.
Yeah.
And it makes you stronger.
Jeremiah 29:13
I love this scripture.
In the Message Bible. This is in the Message. It says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree, I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries in which I drove you. God's decree, bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it.
I'll turn things around for you. You can count on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. God's got to make sure that we're not disappointed if we hold on steadfastly to His word, to His promises. He will reward us for what we're going through and our belief and trust and reliance on His word.
Amen.
Proverbs 23:18.
Before we read 23:18, which I do like, I also want to throw in 25:15.
Okay.
Because it says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. That means that your feet may be in the net, but God, if your eyes are on Him, you don't have to have your, that was going back to what we were talking about, don't have your eyes on your feet that might be caught in the net. Have your eyes on Him, and He will pluck those feet out of the net. But the key is having your eyes on Him. And in Proverbs 23:18, this is what leads into it in the New Living Translation. You will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. Meaning when we put our eyes and keep our eyes on the Word, on Him, the Word, and Jesus is the Word, says the Word became flesh. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, then our hope will not be disappointed, as it says in Proverbs 23:18. Because we will be rewarded for being faithful to Him. He is so much more faithful to us.
That scripture you read, Psalm 25:15.
I love that one.
Listen to it in the New Living Translation. My eyes are always on the Lord, for He rescues me from the traps of my enemies.
Yes, that's good.
My eyes are ever looking to the Lord for help, for He alone can rescue me. It's the Living Bible. In the Message Bible, if I keep my eyes on God, I won't trip up over my own feet. Anyhow, go ahead, babe.
That's good. Well, that's it. Number two, when you're afraid. You know, it isn't a sin to be afraid. It's a sin to let fear take root and take you down with it.
Dwell on it.
That's right.
Don't dwell on it.
That's it.
We've said many times that the phrase, be not afraid, is in the King James Bible 24 times.
The enemy will come against you.
It's in the, don't be afraid, is in the Message Bible 44 times.
Wow.
And it's in the New Living Translation 66 times.
Mm-hmm.
So how many times should God have to tell us something for us to get it? One. But it's there multiple times because He knows.
That's right.
What human nature is.
And the enemy's going to throw it at you, you know, with all four feet.
See, we don't have to be afraid for a number of reasons. Number one, most important, because God says not to be afraid.
Right.
But second,
He backs it up with His word.
He does. It's because we're not fighting the battle.
Yeah.
But another is because the devil's no match for the one who is fighting our battle for us.
Greater is He that is
who's
us.
Who's on our side.
Amen.
He's no match for Him whatsoever.
Amen. 2 Chronicles 20:15. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Have you ever felt like you had a great multitude coming against you? For the battle is not yours, but God's.
You don't have to be afraid of what you see.
That's right.
You don't have to be afraid of what you hear. Because 2 Kings 19:6 says, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard.
That's it. Isaiah 37:6 says, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard. There is only one thing to do when you're afraid, right? And it comes to us in believing in the Word of God. Mark 5:36 says, be not afraid, only believe.
Be not afraid, only,
only believe.
Only believe. That's the key.
Be not afraid, only
believe. That's the key. It really
believe.
Is. Billy Sunday. Quote of his came to my mind. If you don't know, he was a famed evangelist. And was a baseball player before he got converted.
That's it.
And when he went into town, when he left town, saloons had closed up. Hospitals had been ended.
Wow.
And he came into town. I remember 40 years ago, a long time ago, reading a biography about Billy Sunday, an amazing man. Mm-hmm. And this was a quote that he said that I really like. And if you think that anybody's going to frighten me, you don't know me yet.
Wow.
And the reason is because he also said that he wants to be so on fire for God that people come just to watch him burn. And that's the way he was.
Wow.
See, when we believe,
yeah,
we can have that kind of faith, that kind of confidence. And we'll be rewarded for not being afraid.
Yes. And it's a learned thing, learning to not be afraid and walk in peace. And that's really the key. It's an everyday thing. Genesis 15, verse 1 in the Message Bible. After all these things, this word came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand.
How? Number 3, when you don't know what to do, when you're not sure what to do next, take comfort in knowing that God always does. And he's not playing hide and seek from you. He'll tell you. If you ask him, he'll tell you. And not only, he wants to tell us what to do. He does. And see, you don't have to be some super saint to get the message. Simple, childlike faith is all it takes.
Waiting before him.
As a matter of fact, one of the biggest problems is sometimes we overthink when we hear him speak.
Yes.
We overthink it.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 in the Message Bible. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track.
When you're in the midst of a financial, emotional, spiritual firefight, and you don't know what to do next, don't try to figure it out on your own. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Because let me say this, if you try to figure it out on your own, to solve problems by yourself, then you don't need God. If you're trying to do it yourself, you really don't. Simply said, only one of you, either him or you, needs to be working on the problem. One or the other. Not both. And there have been times in my life when things came up, and I said, all right, Lord, taking my hands off of this.
Yeah.
Taking my hands off that person. And you have to solve this. You have to turn things around.
There you go.
And then, see, that's the reason we listen to his voice. Because he's the one that will keep us on track.
That's it. And that's what exactly what the verse says.
Yeah.
Listen for God's voice in everything you do. And the reason that you listen for his voice is because he'll keep you on track.
How do you listen for his voice? When a problem comes to mind, keep committing it to God.
Yes.
And soon something will, quote, come to you.
That's right.
On how to handle it. If the idea persists and lines up with the word, you got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You got the answer. I'm reading a very good book called Two Chairs. I think I've mentioned it before. And I'm almost through with it. But it's remarkable. It is an interesting concept. And more later on the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read it, I've waited to do the practical
application.
Of it. But I'm going to do that. And I'll be finished in another night or two.
Amen.
Anyhow.
Listening to his voice.
Yep.
Isaiah. He'll bring things our way.
Yeah.
So that they're not an accident, never an accident when it comes up. There's something in it somewhere.
He'll either speak to you sometimes
audibly,
or he'll speak to your mind.
Yeah,
know clearly it came from him.
He drops it in and you go, where did that come from?
Yeah.
But it has
sometimes
to line up with the word.
Sometimes when he drops it in, you want to look around and go, who said that?
it has to line up with the word. That's how you know it's him dropping it in.
Really want to do. That shook you.
It did.
Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go.
Hallelujah.
Not only should we quit worrying and listen to his voice, but we need to understand that he's the only one that can help us profit in every situation.
And change the situation.
In fact, the Hebrew word profit, and according to Strong's Concordance, is H3276, H3276. It means gain, benefit, or profit. So.
And one of the things about that really is it's not just in, he may not change the situation. He can change the situation. But the thing is to find your peace in the situation. In other words, turning it over to him and letting him give you the peace through your situation. That's one of the big trust issues when it comes to, I don't know, I just felt led to say that. That's a trust issue. Not worrying about it. We spend too much time worrying about it. What about? No, we need to relax and rest and go, Lord, he is not wringing his hands in heaven going, I did not know this was going to happen. So we say, Lord, show me how to take, you know, to go through this situation, you dealing.
And when we follow his divine direction,
yeah,
he'll sustain us through every attack.
That's right.
And cause us to gain, benefit, and profit from the attacks of the enemy. But the key is to follow his direction.
That's right.
And we must understand and obey the words found again in Isaiah 48:17.
This time in the Message Bible. Where it gets there. I am God, your God. I like that. I am God, your God. He is God, your God, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do and where to go.
That's it. That's such a powerful scripture.
Simple,
I'll show you what to do.
That's right.
I'll tell you where to go. I'll teach you how to live right and well. I mean, he's going to give us the answer to all of that. But we have to follow his direction.
And a lot of times it's, you know, we're worrying way into the future. It's not here yet.
When he shows us what to do,
today,
we have to do it.
That's right. Psalm 119, verse 60 in the New Living Translation says it this way, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands.
When we follow his instructions, we get his approval.
That's right.
When we follow his instructions, we get his approval. When we follow his instructions,
we get his approval. Psalm, and we open him up for him to be able to work. Psalm 90, verse 17 in the New Living Translation, and may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful.
When we follow his instructions, we not only get his approval, but we have the assurance and knowing that we're on the right track.
That's it.
Number four, when you spend every... What to do when you spend every cent you've got?
Whew. God reminded us of a biblical solution for making mistakes of bad judgment. Sometimes we do. James 5, verse 16. Sometimes this is with husband and wife. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed, the fault being removed.
We fall into the trap of purchasing things we regret. We become the possessors of what Jesus called the sycamine tree.
That's it.
The sycamine tree.
In Luke 17, verse 6, the scripture says, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you.
Now I can hear somebody thinking out of here around the world, Brother Harold, what makes you think my regrettable purchases are like a sycamine tree? Well, it becomes clear when we look at the definition of sycamine in the Greek. It's the word G4807, and it means an imitation mulberry tree.
An imitation
mulberry tree. It looks like it'll produce fruit, but produces none.
That's it.
when we mistakenly spend our hard-earned money for products or services that turn out to be an imitation of God's best for us, then you've been sold a sycamine tree. And see, sometimes we spend money on something that's not God's best for us.
That's it.
And that's just like having a sycamine tree. And let me say this, no matter how good the deal was or may have been at the time.
Or seemed to be.
If God wasn't in the purchase, it's just going to yield misery and discomfort until you get rid of it.
Or,
and that's a fact.
Yeah, sometimes you can't get rid of it. So, but he can deal with it.
And if you made a mistake, if you've transgressed from financial wisdom, then take comfort in 1 John 1:9.
Yep. And it works every time. 1 John 1:9, this is in the Classic Amplified Bible. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness. We all make mistakes. And continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action. You're going to make mistakes because you're living and breathing and doing stuff. So you have to be, you just need to confess and make it right. And let me tell you something that stirred me. It's something that Francis Frangipane shared in one of his books, which is so good. And I'd never seen the scripture in this way, but you know there's a scripture, I think it's in Matthew, where it says, if your neighbor is, you know, when someone is dragging you into court and you're going, you know, and you're resisting, it said, agree with your adversary before you get there and solve the problem. What he's saying by that is the enemy is going to beat you up with, beat you like with a stick. But the point of it is this. What you need to say is you need to confess, I made a mistake, and not rationalize and say, well, you know, it should have been this way, or it looked like it was that way, and it wasn't my fault, but I just, you know, confess. You know, you made a mistake, and you just confess it, and that's what he means about agreeing with the adversary, because the adversary is going to take you and prove that your rationalizations don't work before God. I love the proverb, too, and I can't recall the, but it's in there. The address, but the proverb that says you can tell it to the Lord, but is he convinced? You can explain your motives, but is he convinced? The point of it is God knows everything, and you might as well just go ahead and say, you know what, I made a mistake, and I just need to be forgiven of it, and I want to be totally refreshed and cleansed and standing in righteousness before the judge, and that gives the enemy no ability to accuse you because you've confessed and you're forgiven. So no rationalizing as to why I shouldn't feel this way and why I shouldn't be. No, you know, just confess when you're wrong and keep on going.
And let me tell you, it may be a good deal. But if you didn't ask God about it, you don't need to spend the money.
And self-condemnation. And it gets rid of all of that.
Well, self-condemnation makes the devil's day, especially
exactly
if you get into an argument with your spouse.
There you go.
And even if you don't, you know, the enemy's just waiting to put you into guilt when you buy and you realized you got a sycamine tree.
That's right.
And a sycamine tree could mean that you financed something that God really wanted you to be able to pay cash for.
All right.
Or maybe get it at another time. So you have to think about that in terms of concepts.
And didn't you come up with the idea, I'm sick of mine. Are you sick of yours?
Yeah.
Sick of mine? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I used to.
All right.
So you have to think about it. And sometimes it can be something you want.
Yeah.
But I've told this, I don't think I've told it recently. But my dream car is an Audi A8. And I forget how many years ago, maybe.
Oh, my.
10, 11 years ago. We went to an Audi dealer and negotiated a great deal. It was on a Wednesday. Negotiated a great deal. But I was preaching that night. I said, look, and the next day was Thanksgiving. So I'll be back here Friday. I'll sign the papers. And that night, I taught a message entitled, 9 Questions to Ask Before Going into Debt. And one of them was, something less expensive
would something less expensive do?
Do just as well.
And you on the way preached home. Your way right out of it.
I did.
You?
On the way home, I told you. I remember the conversation.
I do too.
That I wasn't going to buy the A8. She said, why? It's your dream car.
Wait. I had to feel and make sure he didn't have a temperature. Okay.
And I said, I listened to the preacher tonight.
Yeah. Yay.
And we didn't do it.
That's it.
Now, we could have afforded it. We could have got the car. But it wasn't right for us at that time.
Mm.
And it would have been a sick of mine.
It would have. So when you mess up, you fess up, and you get up, and you get on and move on with your life, right,
without
baby?
Looking back.
That's it.
Number five, when the doctor gives you a bad report.
Mm.
Have you ever known someone who speaks with absolute authority, but does so without the basis of all the facts? I mean, they act like they know everything, but they really don't. When a doctor gives you a bad report, he or she can only tell you the facts they perceived based on what they learned or their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, they're telling you the facts that they know, but that doesn't mean that it's the whole truth.
That's right.
It doesn't mean
well, it
that.
Doesn't make it the truth.
It doesn't make it the truth.
Because there is only one truth, and that's found in the Word of God.
And sometimes such proclamations can undermine the confidence of people who ought to know better. Because of their time in the Word.
Mm.
And such an announcement can throw you into doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a firm grasp on the truth of God's Word, then it could upset you and get you off into unbelief.
Yeah.
And playing all sorts of what if games.
Said that together, didn't
we? Yes, we did. Facts can change,
mm-hmm.
but the truth remains the same.
Hallelujah.
God's Word is truth.
That's right.
Now, let me tell you another quick story. About the same number of years ago, maybe 12, 13 years ago, I had to come off the road because I was talking like this. I mean,
we could not understand what he had to say.
This was most
and he was speaking.
And even
a lot.
With a microphone, you couldn't understand. And I went to a ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he did his test and said, Mr. Herring, you have the largest nodule I've ever seen on a vocal cord. I said, Doc, that may be a fact, but let me tell you the truth. Jesus heals. He said, well, I appreciate your faith. 2 weeks later, I went back and had a test where they run the tube down in my throat, which is not fun. And the lady came in and she said, well, I know the doctor said that you had the largest nodule that he'd ever seen on a vocal cord. And I can tell it was there, but it's not there now.
Hallelujah.
And I said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Because it's all
but
him.
You see, I did not buy his set of facts because I knew the truth about what the Word says.
That's right.
So what does the Word say about our physical health?
1 Peter 2:24, most all of us can just quote it by heart. This is in the new King James Version. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
On our website, haroldherring.com, there's a button that says personalized scriptures. And there's
if you're having a health challenge,
there's
this
nine
is
different
it for you.
Listings. But one of them is on physical healing.
Yes.
And this is one of the verses that's personalized. Who himself bore Norman's sins in his own body on the tree. Mm-hmm. That Norman, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes Norman was healed.
Right.
You know, you can take that and personalize it, get it down inside of you.
Who himself bore Clay's sins in his own body on the tree.
Yeah.
That Clay, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes Clay was already healed. Hallelujah.
You can have facts without having the truth.
That's it.
For instance, when the spies came back to Moses with a bad report. Mm. They brought back the facts that they perceived to be reality. They brought an evil report about what laid ahead of them.
They did not bring back God's truth, and God did not like it. Numbers 13, verse 32 in the New Century Version says, and those men gave the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored, saying the land that we explored is too large to conquer. All the people we saw are very tall. But Numbers 14, verse 36 in the New Century Version says, the men Moses had sent to explore the land had returned and spread complaints among all the people. They had given a bad report about the land.
The 10 spies who brought back the bad report suffered the consequences of believing facts.
That's right, over truth.
Because it didn't line up with God's promise to them.
And they didn't go in either.
And we have to line up with God's promises.
That's right.
To us as well.
And stand on them. Numbers 14:37 in the New Living Translation said, these men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Wow.
The doctor may give you a bad report. He may give you, or she may give you, the facts that they know. But the truth of God's healing is found in His Word.
Wow.
It's found in His Word. The devil wants us to see giants where truth is. A giant becomes a grasshopper in the presence of God's Word.
Amen. You know, before you call 911 to report a medical emergency, you remember the truth in Luke 9:1-1 in the Contemporary English Version, which says, but a lot of people found out about this and followed Him. Jesus welcomed them. He spoke to them about God's kingdom and healed everyone who was sick.
Anonymous makes a lot of quotes. He gets around a lot and has lived for centuries. But Anonymous said, if you don't think you have any blessings, remember, your heart is still beating.
Wow.
That's a great quote. It really is.
It is.
Number six, when someone you love is doing or has done something stupid.
You just, where the rubber meets the road, don't you, baby?
Unless you're the Cleaver family, Leave It to Beaver, from the 50s TV show, you've experienced, no doubt, frustration, disappointment, and even heartbreak with family or close friends.
That's it.
And despite your best efforts as parents, sometimes your children will do unwise things.
Sometimes.
Or call it what it is, stupid things.
Because we look back and think, once in a while we did something stupid too, but...
Really? I never know.
We lived to see another day because of God, anyway.
If you've experienced that, here's what you need to know.
That's it.
First, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
God is on the throne. And if you don't see His...
Thank God.
If you look out when it's light, we now have darkness here because of time change. But when you look out your window and you don't see God's throne, He's still on it.
Hallelujah.
And that means everything's going to be all right, and that everything in His Word is still true and will come to pass.
Amen.
Second, remember the reason Jesus came to planet Earth was to deliver each of us and our families from the devil's hold.
That's right. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now that you can take to the bank.
Third, God doesn't want anyone in your family to spend an eternity in hell.
That's right. 2 Peter 3:9.
Classic Amplified Bible.
The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what He promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But He is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. Fourth, God not only forgives our sins, hallelujah, foolishness and stupidity, but He forgets them as well.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's huge.
Thank you.
It is. Isaiah 43, verse 25 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, I am He who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Wow.
Hallelujah.
The Message Bible of that says it this way. It's good.
Really plain.
But I, yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins.
So if something from your past pops in your mind,
that's right.
It didn't come from God.
That's it.
Because he's not only forgiven it, he's forgotten it.
Amen.
It's the enemy of your destiny trying to start to create a stronghold in your mind.
That's right.
And don't give him anything to work with.
Amen.
Fifth, your loving Heavenly Father will give you a hope for your children as they move into a relationship with him. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 12, 1 through 3 in the Message Bible. Hallelujah. What a great way to start a verse.
I know.
Hallelujah. Blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments. Their children robust on the earth, and the homes are upright. How blessed. Their houses brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. We could preach that.
We could. That'd be a great sermon. Sixth, your kids who once frustrated you will now receive a generational blessing because you knew how to put a hedge of protection around them. It says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel and the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And that's the continuation of that scripture.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Number seven, when you're advancing behind enemy lines. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song that Hosanna or Integrity Music did, some a worship song some years ago entitled, well, there was a chorus and a verse that says, I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp and we'd go, took back what he stole from me.
Amen.
You know, I love that. I love that song. I love what it says.
Yeah.
And the reality of it in our lives.
That's right. Well, it says that the gates of hell shall not, you know, prevail. That means you're going through the gates, right?
Yep.
They're not going to prevail against you.
First movie you and I ever saw was Patton.
That's it.
And in that line, in that movie right at the beginning, General Patton makes a speech. And he said, we're not holding on to anything. We're advancing all the time.
That's it.
That's the way we should be as believers. We're advancing all the time. We need to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We can, and if you think you can, here are seven reasons why you can advance behind enemy lines to take back
what he stole,
from you. First, you're not alone. Because Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. I didn't put down these topics. You'll need to write them in your outline.
Mm-hmm.
First, you're not alone. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee. The Lord thy God is with Fred. The Lord thy God is with Randy, with Laurel, with everybody here, everybody watching around the world.
That's it.
The Lord your God is with you. Hallelujah. And if that's not good enough, Romans 8:31.
That's it.
Classic Amplified. If God is for us.
I love it.
Who can be against us?
That's right.
Who can be our foe? If God is on our side.
Hallelujah. It's one of my favorites.
I know.
I have so many, too many favorites. Second,
there you go.
You're not going to fight the battle because 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 says, we've read this. Think of this, though. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. Remember? Doesn't matter how big they are. For the battle is not yours, but God's. He will show you how to win.
Hallelujah.
Third,
there's only one thing you have to do. One thing.
Hallelujah.
We quoted it earlier. Here it is again, Mark 5:36. Be not afraid, only believe.
Hallelujah. Fourth, if you're not going to face your enemies, call in reinforcements. Psalm 118, 5 and 6 in the New International Version. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere What can man do to me?
Anyone who opposes you opposes him. You ever remember seeing in a movie or TV show how this kid was walking along and the bullies came up and they were doing it and the little boy stood up for himself and all of a sudden the bullies got fearful, turned around and ran away mm-hmm. because the little boy's big brother was behind him and was about to give him a real whipping. See, that's the way it is with us.
That's right.
Our older brother.
Yes.
Is right behind us, right with us all the time.
Amen. Living inside us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Exodus 23:22. But if you will indeed listen and obey his voice, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries.
Yes. Ooh, I love that one too. 6. You will come out of the battle unharmed. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 6 in the Message Bible says, God's now at my side and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? You can also try Luke 10:19. You know, we can tread on serpents and scorpions and by every oppression of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt us. That's my little hearing translation.
7th. You got protection stronger than Thor's hammer.
Oh, boy.
Captain America's shield.
Yay.
Iron Man's suit, Superman's cape, or Spider-Man's web.
you got in that one. Yeah, you got it.
Hebrews 13:5-6, Classic Amplified Bible says, so we take comfort.
Yes.
And are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?
You know what I think about when you were saying all that was that cartoon. If you haven't seen this, you need to Google it. With Jesus sitting down with all the superheroes around, and he goes, now, let me tell you guys how I conquered the world. I think that's great.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's a great
cartoon. It is a great little cartoon.
When it seems that all hell is breaking loose.
There you go.
These 7 points will guide you through to truth, comfort, strength, peace, power,
right.
and protection in the midst of every storm.
Yeah.
In the midst of every adversity. One final quote that I really like from Charles Spurgeon. There's a Bible coming out later this month called the Spurgeon Study Bible.
Wow.
It's going to be awesome. It really is. When you know the truth, you don't need to let anything hold you back.
Right.
And here's the Spurgeon quote. You may think that you can live fine without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without Christ.
Wow. That's powerful.
It is. Now we know what to do when trouble strikes.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Very good.
Yay. Well.
Gracious. I choked you up this time. You know, if you, oh, God bless you.
I apologize.
Well, the enemy just
didn't like what
you were going to say.
Boo, devil, boo.
That's it. Because we just gave him a black eye and a bloody nose. And
we took him behind the woodshed. And just whipped him real good with the word of God.
And he had to go by and get some Prozac and leave town. Right?
My apologies for all that, but
God is on the throne.
You know the best way to give it to the enemy? Is with the word.
Yeah, and be happy in the midst of things. You know, if he can't take you down and you're going to stay happy and not get down about everything, then he's going to go find somebody else to pick on because his whole point is to take you down. If he can't take you down because your faith is strong and you go, I may not be happy, you know, I may not like what the situation, but I can rejoice in the situation. I can go that I know my God is a real God and he'll bring me out. It just takes all the wind out of his sails, and he'll just go find someone else to pick on, which I feel bad for them. But the point is, he'll leave you alone.
Hallelujah.
I just felt led to say it.
He'll be on the next bus out of town.
That's it. He's not going to want to mess with you if you have a great attitude about everything.
That's it.
All right. Take that mouse.
Truth. You've been blessed by the teaching. Take the mouse. Move to the top where it says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed did have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Hallelujah.
That's all we ever ask,
that's
really.
That's all we ever ask.
But we love you. We just love coming before you every Sunday night at 6.
I do have something
Eastern
else.
Eastern time. Okay.
Join us every morning at 8:30 for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Hallelujah.
It'll bless you. And it'll annoy the devil.
Yes, and we
it
love
really
that.
Will. I want to, you know, you want to start today annoying the devil, listen
That's
to Rich Salts for Breakfast.
That's it. Hallelujah. So, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern. So, in the meantime,
happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you.
We do.
Bye.